In the chilly January of 1963, two middle-aged Englishmen sat in a Beirut apartment, sipping tea and exchanging polite lies. Kim Philby and Nicholas Elliott, friends for nearly 30 years, were now enemies locked in a deadly game of espionage. Their conversation marked the culmination of history's most extraordinary betrayal. What makes this story so compelling isn't just the scale of Philby's treachery, but how it exposes the vulnerability of human trust. Kim Philby possessed a legendary charm, that intoxicating, beguiling, and occasionally lethal English quality that inspired unwavering loyalty. With his exceptional manners, gentle blue eyes, unruly forelock, and endearing stutter, he made everyone feel special. His wartime credentials were impeccable, surviving a shell attack in Spain, receiving decoration from Franco himself, and writing distinctive dispatches for the Times during World War II. Imagine a world where your background check consists solely of someone saying, "I know his people." This was how Philby entered MI6, through casual conversations and upper-class connections. The establishment's trust in bloodlines over thorough investigation created the perfect environment for deception. What none of his colleagues knew was that beneath Philby's perfect English gentleman exterior lay a committed Soviet agent. His charm wasn't just a personality trait, it was his most effective weapon. Philby's espionage began at Cambridge, where 1930s radical politics shaped his leftist views. Soviet recruiter Arnold Deutsch, Otto, directed him to abandon communist ties and pose as a right-wing sympathizer to infiltrate British society. Following this directive, Philby wrote for Nazi-backed publications while secretly serving Moscow. He left his communist wife Litzy, recruited McLean and Burgess, and gathered intelligence as a journalist in Spain, impressing both the Times and his Soviet handlers. Nicholas Elliott entered intelligence in 1939 after witnessing Hitler's Berlin parade. At MI5, he helped develop the double-cross system of turned German agents. When Elliott's friend Fischer died in the Battle of Britain, Philby exploited this vulnerability. Philby masterfully maintained dual identities, a charming clubman to British intelligence while remaining Moscow's dedicated spy. He manipulated MI6 leaders like Stuart Menzies, avoided political discussion, and adapted his persona for each audience, keeping his true beliefs private. At MI6's Section V, Philby established himself at War Station XB, where Graham Greene observed his composure and leadership qualities. The war provided perfect cover for his double life. While at MI6, he covertly copied files for Moscow nightly. His 1943 transfer to Ryder Street enabled him to influence America's OSS, where he mentored James Jesus Angleton, a relationship that would later compromise U.S. intelligence. When Nicholas Elliott secured Erich Vermehren's defection, the German anti-Nazi revealed crucial details about Germany's Catholic resistance. Though MI6 guarded this intelligence from Moscow, Philby leaked it, leading to Soviet forces eliminating these potential post-war allies. His most ruthless betrayal involved Konstantin Volkov, a Soviet officer in Istanbul seeking to defect with information about Soviet spies in Britain, including one leading a counterintelligence section in London. Recognizing himself, Philby took control of the case and deliberately delayed until Soviet agents captured and executed Volkov and his wife. In Washington from 1949, Philby served as joint commander of the Anglo-American Special Policy Committee, overseeing Iron Curtain operations. His wife Eileen hosted intelligence community parties from their Nebraska Avenue home. His pivotal Washington relationship was with James Angleton, a rising CIA star. Their regular lunches at Harvey's, fueled by bourbon, wine, and cigars, became legendary. Though appearing genuine friends, each pursued hidden objectives. While Angleton hoped drinking sessions would yield intelligence, Philby systematically extracted America's vital secrets. The impact was devastating. Frank Wisner's anti-communist operations failed repeatedly, with resources diverted to Soviet fronts and agents disappearing in Soviet territory. Philby's most damaging betrayals came during the early Cold War, especially in Albania. He provided Moscow with mission details that led to countless deaths. Later, officials learned that Angleton had unwittingly revealed all CIA Albanian drop zone coordinates to Philby during their drinks, a friendship that proved catastrophically expensive. The first crack in Philby's cover came in May 1951 when Soviet agents Guy Burgess and Donald McLean fled to Moscow. Though Philby had warned McLean through Burgess, he was surprised when Burgess also defected against promises. Summoned to London, Philby faced pressure as CIA chief Walter Bedell Smith barred him from Washington. MI6 defended him firmly, with Nicholas Elliott returning from Switzerland to support his friend. The situation reached an impasse. MI5 suspected his guilt without proof, while MI6 defended him without full clearance. By 1955, Elliott and MI6 colleagues pushed to restore Philby's reputation. At a press conference in his mother's flat, Philby performed masterfully, denying communist contact since 1934. On Burgess, he responded carefully, "I consider his action deplorable. On the subject of friendship, I'd prefer to say as little as possible because it's very complicated." Elliott celebrated this apparent vindication and advocated for Philby's MI6 return, unwittingly advancing Moscow's interests. Philby worked in Beirut as both a correspondent and MI6 operative, arranged by his friend Elliott. While there, he cultivated journalism sources, conducted espionage, and began an affair with Eleanor Brewer, wife of a New York Times correspondent. The downfall began in 1961 when George Blake, another Soviet mole, was exposed. Flora Solomon then provided the first direct evidence against Philby, revealing his 1935 recruitment attempt. Rather than risk a political trial, MI5 and MI6 sent Nicholas Elliott to secure Philby's confession in exchange for immunity. On January 12, 1963, Philby greeted Elliott with, "I rather thought it would be you." Their confrontation was quintessentially British. Elliott declared, "The game's up," and later burst out, "You took me in for years. Now I'll get the truth out of you even if I have to drag it out." Philby offered a partial confession, claiming his spying ended after the war. Elliott departed without arranging surveillance, and days later, Philby escaped aboard a Soviet freighter to Odessa. In Moscow, Philby remained an outsider, maintaining English habits like reading the Times and eating marmalade despite KGB's welcome. His betrayals continued as Eleanor discovered his affair with Melinda McLean. James Jesus Angleton's career imploded after Philby's defection. His obsessive search for Soviet moles within the CIA, fueled by paranoia, ultimately led to his downfall. Nicholas Elliott rebuilt his life differently. Though his career suffered, he found peace in retirement through dowsing, meditation, and advising Margaret Thatcher, viewing Philby's betrayal as exploitation rather than personal failure. Their story demonstrates friendship's dual nature as both solace and vulnerability. As Philby admitted, "I have always operated on two levels, a personal level and a political one. When the two have come into conflict, I have had to put politics first." We all wear different masks, but the line between adaptation and deception remains razor thin. Perhaps the greatest deception is believing we truly know another person.